Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We're going to bring in... This dude got the longest bio sheet I've ever seen in my life, bro. I've never seen accolades like this, but... 1997 USA Today National Championship. Back-to-back 1997 and 1998 Division I State Championship in Ohio. Three-time All-Ohio. Reebok Rivals Parade All-American. 2002-2003 All-SEC. Honorable Mention All-American. Played 6 years in the CFL. 2008 Grey Cup Champs. 2009 Grey Cup Champ Runner-Up for the Calgary Stampeders and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. All-time All-UK team, all-time All-Ohio team, Stark County Hall of Famer, McKinley Hall of Famer, and U.S. Marines Great American Rivalry Hall of Famer. We bring in Antonio Hall. What's going on?
Are you sure you're talking about me?
Yeah, yeah. I had to stop. I had to break a little bit. I was like, hold on, where's the pauses in this, man?
I don't recall half of those things just because, you know, when you're playing, you know. But, you know, I just had to make sure that you were on the phone with the right person.
Yeah, man. You know, those are all your accolades. And you know, Sam, this name Marion Jones, we're not going to strip your medals. We're going to give you your just desserts before you come on into the barbershop.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm the one that's honored. I mean, you know, on the phone with a celebrity. So that's that doesn't happen too often. Nowadays, it's just a coach. Yeah. So, you know, I don't get the limelight like you used to as a player. So hey, this is an honor. This is an honor to be on the radio with you.
Yeah, well, maybe you can help me get that blue check mark. I'm still looking for the blue check mark. They're playing around with my name. I need the blue check mark on Twitter. But
I'll do what I can do.
Put that word in. We talking a little bit about offensive linemen. And, you know, the crazy part about it is right now you are probably one of the most respected guys that can probably talk about the offensive lineman position. I'm trying to do some stuff to educate the fan base. Offensive linemen are really undervalued until the quarterback gets sacked or until they can't, you know, run block or pass block. And then all of a sudden, we need linemen. So in your opinion, playing in the SEC, what is it like playing SEC as far as big-time football with some of the best pass rushers down there? What is it like to be up there up front, and what are some of the things, the characteristics that you're going to need to be successful at the next level?
Well, the biggest thing is speed. I mean, you know, SEC stands for Speed Enhanced Conference. So, I mean, you know, things happen a lot faster, especially out there on the edge at tackle. And when you're developing young offensive linemen, two things that you have to constantly work on is their footwork and their hand placement. I mean, those two things will definitely make up deficiencies in speed and strength, powers. So if your technique is right, you know, you stand a fighting chance. So, but those are probably being young linemen. Those are the things that you have to work on the most is your footwork and your hand placement.
When you're looking at it, you made a transition from playing guard in high school to being out there on the edge and tackle. What are some of the things that you – to be a guy that's versatile, what are some of the differences between playing inside, what I like to say, in a phone booth, or playing outside on the edge?
I think outside is a little bit more of a finesse game as far as a chess match, as far as setting up your defensive end, because you have no help. You know, you're out there alone. Inside, You could be a lot more physical. You can be, you'd be a lot more aggressive with your play on the inside because you're covered on both sides. You know, usually you have the center helping with you backside, or that tackle is at least going to be there for your outside protection to kind of narrow that gap. So outside, it's all technique. It really is. It's, setting guys up with your set, setting them up with your punch, flashing the punch, you know, making them think you're going to punch and not punch. Sometimes I jump set them off the line of scrimmage. So you have to mix it up at tackle because the defensive ends, the good ones, they time up your pass set, they time up your punch, and most of them are great athletes. So if you get a technician out there who's a great athlete, it can make for a long Saturday.
Talking to Antonio Hall, I'm former all-SEC tackle for the Kentucky Wildcats. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. When you look at it, the Browns per se, one of the main issues that they have this year is they're going to look to probably replace Greg Robinson. They may try to replace Hubbard on the other end. There's a lot of different guys. The thought process before was when you watch Munoz and Baselli and Joe Thomas and those guys that left tackle. What traditionally do you feel like the way it's evolved now between left and right tackle? Do you still see one as more elite more than the other one? Or is it the right tackle is just as important because now you can switch ends back and forth and you can bring rushes from that end too? What's the difference between left and right tackle?
I think now there's not as big of an emphasis as when I played. You know, you put your more athletic guy at the blind side tackle. You put your bigger, more physical or bruiser guy at your front side tackle, whether it be right, depending on your quarterback. But like you said, now defenses, they've kind of schemed for that. So, I mean, you know, you have a guy like Young who can play anywhere across the front. They're just going to try to isolate you against, you know, your weaker pass protector. So I think now it has to be a little bit more equal just because defenses are getting a lot more creative with how they're scheming.
You know, when you look at it, one of the things that I kind of hear a lot on the radio is, when quarterbacks get hit, it automatically, by default, is the offensive line's problem. It's automatically by default. Oh, yep, the big dude's the tackle,
right.
He ain't doing
right.
nothing.
Right.
But kind
right.
of talk about, when a quarterback gets hit, there's a lot of different things that can come from that. Maybe you can't block all those guys. Maybe he didn't hit the hot route. Maybe he didn't shift his offensive line to the right way. Name some of the different things in the chess matches that go up and that go everything that goes into protection schemes at a high level.
Right, right. And when you're talking about a high level, I mean, you have to account for everything. You have to account for safety blitzes. You have to account for corner blitzes. You have to account for a mixture of secondary blitzes. You know, there's a lot of things that people have to account for. And a lot of times when there's a breakdown in coverage, it's either coming from the running back or the quarterback simply holding on the ball for a little bit too long or the quarterback missing a read. So, I mean, there could be several different variations. I mean, it could just be a good scheme called up by the defense where they do bring more than what you can block and end up getting home. So it's not always the offensive line fault, but generally that kind of is the go-to, kind of like, you know, the head coach always gets blamed when you lose or get the credit when you win, and sometimes it's not his fault or his credit. So, I mean, that's just being a player in ownership, being an offensive lineman, you learn at a young age that you're going to get very little praise, but when things go wrong, you're going to be the first one to get blamed.
And we're talking to Antonio Hall, one of the great offensive linemen to come out of the state of Ohio, and he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Now, you've been so gracious to come from us live from your football camp. You've been back in coaching now, and you've gone a lot of different places. First of all, talk a little bit about why you decided to get back into coaching after your playing career. And then second of all, talk a little bit about what you're doing working with the youth in your camp and what you're doing getting the next generation offensive lineman going.
Oh, definitely. You really can't build character and build a solid foundation for young people like the game of football can produce. So, I mean, even when I was playing, I was still doing some coaching, volunteering. I mean, even as early as high school, you know, I would go help out where I could just because the love of the game and what it's given me. And, you know, I'm a nerd. So, I mean, like, you know, this offensive line stuff, once you get into it, you realize it's 100% technique. And I was fortunate enough to play for some of the greats like Bob Wiley and Howard Mudd. I mean, these guys are on the Mount Rushmore of offensive line play. And I was just fortunate enough to just be able to pick up on things that every other offensive line coach or offensive lineman was trying to get that information from those guys. And I'm able to get it every day. So I'm blessed in that regard. And right now I'm doing my coach's clinic, but I also have what's called the big man's camp or the big man showcase a couple of times every summer. That's just for offense and defensive linemen, where I get some of the college and NFL guys in Stark County to come back and work with the youth and develop them and their technique, because you always have a bunch of camps for skill guys and 7-on-7 and 40s and all this, but you know, the linemen really don't start getting developed until high school or college. So they get kind of left behind the eight ball as far as development. So I want to make sure that our big guys are getting developed the right way and coming up through middle school and high school, learning the best techniques that'll make them the best player possible.
Definitely. And I think you got some so you got some top names at your camp right now. Some of the other guys besides offensive linemen, I think you have Ben McDaniels, who's the quarterback coach of Michigan.
Ben's just finishing up now. Benny from the University of Michigan. Tim Tyrell from Akron Hoban, who's won four state championships in a row. Nate Moore from Madison, Washington, who's been to two state championships in a row. A little short, but he won one a few years ago with LaSalle and was the coach of the year when he was down there. Got Marcus Watley, who's the head coach at McKinley right now. Dan Reardon, three-time state champion and a three-time national coach, high school coach of the year. So we do have some names, you know, and they've been very gracious and fortunate to kind of share my vision of spreading football and the knowledge of football to younger coaches and coaches wanting to learn, so we can kind of keep this thing going. Because if you look at the numbers are down across the board in football. And we have to do our best we can to preserve this sport.
You know, I think from your standpoint, I always say it, man, you know, football, even though, you know, we've both had back surgeries and different things with injuries, and some of them being career ending. One of the things that people always ask me from time to time is, hey, knowing what you know now, would you let your kids, I don't have any kids yet, but would you let your kids play football? And I automatically always tell them, any time of the week and every day and twice on Sunday, because football teaches you something that you can't get in a regular setting. It teaches you
a lot
of things, and you have a son who's playing right now, and what was your thought process letting your kids play football?
Well, I mean, my thing is, you know, I want him to play football, but I didn't see a need for him to start playing until he got into middle school, tackle football. You know, because, you know, I feel like I know the techniques that he needs to learn. And I think, you know, starting tackle football in seventh grade gives you plenty enough time to develop those skills and to get ready for high school. So my biggest thing is I didn't want to burn my kids out too early with football, because, you know, growing up, I started playing baseball at, you know, 4 years old. And by the time I got to high school, I was just done with it. Still love it. I just, you know, just wanted to do something else. You know, I expose him to everything, and then he kind of just gravitated towards baseball and football. And now that he's a sophomore, he's one of the top sophomores in the state of Texas and being recruited by some D1 schools now. So, you know, I think that the plan that we laid out for him is going pretty good, and it's to each his own. It really is to each his own. I mean, whenever you want to start your kid playing football, that's your prerogative, but I just don't see a need to start playing tackle football until about sixth or seventh grade.
And really quickly, before we go here, give out your information for anybody that's interested in the big man camp. If you got a big guy, you don't really know where to put them, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, where can they look up your information for the big man camp?
Definitely. I'm on everything, social media feed, Coach Hall 330 or Antonio Hall on Facebook. Get a hold of me through there. My email is aahall@youngstowndiocese.org. I know it's super long. I didn't create it. That's the best way to get a hold of me. Just call up. Just just call St. Thomas Aquinas High School and just have them put you through to my office and leave me a message, and I'll get back with you. And I try to return phone calls and emails within a day. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can definitely get a hold of me.
Hey, man, I totally appreciate you coming on me, dropping some knowledge about offensive linemen. I want to get you on sometime during the year again and talk about the offensive line play. But you're definitely always, as a brother, welcome in the barbershop, big homie.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And I saw Coach McDee this morning, and I reminded him that you dubbed him the godfather of high school football. So he had a laugh about that.
Yeah, man. We'll get a hold of him. Listen, Josh McDaniel's stories was going on. He was not coming on with nobody. Shout out to him. He's solid. He is 100%. He's like, I ain't going on there. I ain't doing nothing until we understand where we at. So I appreciate it, man.
I hear you.
All right,
man. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, no doubt, man. Appreciate it, man. That's Antonio Hall, one of the great offensive linemen. Clap it up for him. All SEC, Grey Cup champion, Indianapolis Colts, and he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.